Shalom, saints, and welcome to Daily Devotion. This is our last segment, and thank you all for your prayers and support. The Lord richly bless you. Now, let us read the book of Psalms, chapter 39. Psalms 39, and we start from verse 5. Okay. The Bible reads, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Selah. 6. "Surely every man walketh in a vain shoe. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." David says, every man at his best is nothing. Now, let us look at a man. Let's define a man at his best. The man at his best, we can say at the prime of his age. Maybe he is at the pinnacle of his career. He has a good family. He has a wife. He has everything that a human can dream of, that can think of, anything that makes life good for a human being. Someone may be religiously successful, have a big church. They have wonderful things. They have all these things that a human being can aspire for in this life. Now, the Bible says, when a man is at his best, he is vanity. How come? How come when a man is at his best, is vanity? I thought when a man is at his worst, he is vanity. But when he's at best, is vanity. Why? Because he will not last. It's like a human being is like a sun. When the sun is overhead, that's the highest point. When it is hottest, when the sun is hottest, you have to know what follows next. It will start losing that hotness. Meaning, when it loses the hotness, it is as good as not being hot. Until it finally dies down and the coldness returns. So, when the sun is at its best, when it has given all that it has given, just know that the next thing is death. So, when a man is born, the next thing that follows, the next event is death. Like we gave an example of a stage. When a player comes in on the stage, after the act is done, a player doesn't stay on the stage forever. They have to exit the stage. So man at his best is nothing. That is why the Bible says the end of all men is the same. Others go, there are people who were nothing in this life. They had nothing. They're not known. They were not recognized. And the time to die came and they decomposed. The rich man also decomposed. Now, if the grave where a rich man was buried and where the poor man was buried, if after some time is exhumed, someone digs them out, will they be able to see that these bones were of a person who was well-to-do? These bones were of a person who was lean? The bones are all the same. Skeletons are all the same. So, man at his best is nothing. When you have seen the pride of young men, you know, sometimes they wear muscle t-shirts. They, you can tell they go to the gym, they're fit, they can run, they can do all these things. They're fast. And the old fellows, the poor old fellows, they look so frail, so weak, so insignificant. But if we rewind time, those old wrinkled people were also as energetic as the ones we are seeing. Now, these young men may pride in their youth. I've seen young men, they adorn themselves. People who have nothing, but they can invest in clothing. They can invest in good clothes. You know, when it comes to women, girls, when they are at their prime like a flower, they will decorate themselves so much. They will, make themselves look very good. You know, and, they buy clothes. They even have what they say, they dress to kill, huh? Dressed to kill, and for sure they do kill. When they move, everybody keeps their eyes on them. And they take pride in their beauty. They take pride in their adornment. But like a flower, that doesn't last long. It's just a matter of time. They start fading. They'll try to put on cosmetics. They try to put on this. But nature kicks in and they become vain. I remember somebody had shared a picture, I think some on the internet, if I'm not mistaken. They were showing me this actor years back. They were trying to compare. They said how this actor looked like this year, that particular year. Then after so many years, whether it's 40 or 30, 50 years later, how he looks like. And then they also showed me the picture of a woman whom he was acting with. You know, very attractive, very young, good-looking girl. And then they showed the same lady presently, you know. She was not recognized. You cannot recognize her. Why? Because nature kicked in. So, whatever we are right now, whatever we are doing, whatever we are planning, whatever we are thinking, we are looking forward to do something today, I believe. Some of us have ambitions, we have plans, we have expectations. Others maybe will be getting paid, you want to purchase something. All these things we are doing, they will not last long. For the young ones, they can see their parents. Your mom is around, your dad is around. It's good, you're growing up with them. But unfortunately, life will not always be like that. Because time will come when your parents will be no more. Sometimes it may be yourself, you'll be no more. And your parents may pride in you, they may invest in you, but the Lord may take you. So, man at his best is vain, is nothing. Now, David being a wise man, this is the prayer that he had prayed. This is Psalms 119, I believe. Psalms 119, let's check out verse 39. Okay, Psalms 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. Verse 39. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. 119, verse 37, not 39. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Now, very good scripture. David, being very wise, he said, turn away my eyes from vanity. So, vanity is something that can be seen. Vanity is something that your eyes can look at. But David said, turn my eyes away from it. I've seen people being obsessed. Even some believers, I think I've seen them being obsessed with sports, soccer, football, you know, basketball, all these games, people, they can keenly follow them and all that. And I remember some time back, I used to be enthused by these things. I always used to be on edge, wanting to find out the score, wanting to find out which team is doing this. And then, you know, sometimes you end up in heartache. Sometimes, you know, you invest your time, you want to watch a game. You know, when it's time for the World Cup, people buy new TVs, there are promos. But all those things are just vanity. You have your team, you have all these things. You know, believers, some believers, even on a Sunday, they go for ball games. They can go to church, but they are not there. Don't be deceived. They are at the ball games. They want to see what's happening. Actually, they wish the church service was not there on that day. Now, believers, that is vanity. And the Lord needs to deliver you. Don't underestimate sports, believers. I'm not saying children can't play, you cannot relax, have a good time, I'm not saying you can't watch a game. But what I'm saying is there's a spirit behind these things. If you look at football now, it's a commercial thing. It is not what it used to be. It's not as innocent as it used to be. It's not just people playing around, relaxing and having, you know, recreation. It's not. It's business. And because it's business, the devil has carefully targeted it. And that is why a long time ago, I remember, we never used to have this Premier League thing where when we were growing up, we would have a game. Maybe our country is playing against another country, it goes up. But now it's different. Every week, Every day there's a game. Every Saturday there's a game. Every day you are on your toes. Every day you're checking the scores. Every day, which team? I'm following this team. And I like what one Pentecostal preacher said. He said, some people know all the names of the players of the teams. You can, all the European players, all these clubs, you can know the names of the players. You can know them by heart. But do you know the names of the disciples of Jesus Christ by heart? No. Do you know what the Bible says on baptism in Jesus' name? Do you know the scriptures in the book of Acts that talk about baptism in Jesus' name? Are you able to quote them? No. Do you know what the seven seals say? Do you know what the prophet said? These people don't study. They are busy beholding vanity. Then there are these soap operas on TV. I really hate those things. These soap operas. You know, that these, like here in our country, here in Zambia, people were so much taken up by the soap operas from India, Telemundo, something like that. They're always on their toes. Then we have our local ones in Zambia here. And you look at the storyline, it's rubbish. Relationship, this, that. People cannot sit down. Scripture is not in you. You are a believer, but you don't have the Bible. You have it in your home, but it's not in your heart. It's not in your mind. You are full of carnality. You don't know the Lord. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is calling the saints. The Lord is preparing the bride. You are out there feasting with the devil. Believers, that's not right. Let us not behold vanity. Let us rise up. Let us stand. Let us be established in the present truth. Let us love the Lord. Let us love the Lord Jesus. Let us stand. Don't behold vanity. Get rid of that TV. Get rid of that thing. Get rid of that phone. Get rid of that computer. Anything that is, the Bible says, it's better your eye is plucked out than you, all of you, to be thrown in hell. The devil is not playing around. Look at these animations or cartoons that children... They are not cartoons. They are not designed for children. They are not just children's programs. They are carefully crafted with a terrible and filth demonic spirit. Everyone wants to be like Hollywood. Look at American society. They are dying. America, a great country, it's rotten to the core. It is just waiting to self-destruct. And it's just a matter of time because they have lost their identity. And almost all the young men in America are atheistic. Why? Because it's a carefully crafted plan of Satan. And most of us believers, we are asleep. We are in bed with Satan. But believers, this is the time. Let us look up, for our salvation is near. We are almost there, believers. And the Bible says, what a glory. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see the Lord. And the Bible says, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And you know the beauty of it? There are believers who are in tears right now. As I'm speaking this, a believer who is overwhelmed by a physical problem, you are overwhelmed by an addiction problem. You are overwhelmed by a spiritual problem. You are overwhelmed maybe by persecutions. You are overwhelmed by your inability to overcome sin. You are bleeding, but you are trying. But the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As a child of God, as long as there's a desire, the Lord is going to make a way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't matter how many times Satan has hit you. But you are going to stand. But don't behold vanity. So the Bible is warning us. Don't walk by sight. You need to walk by faith. In conclusion, before I conclude, let us look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at this. This is a very famous picture. This is the time people were fighting war. This is the time that they were... Israelites were at war with the Philistines. And we know this story of David and Goliath. And I'm not going to read everything, just selected portions. Now, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And so, and the men of Israel... stood. Okay, so let me skip. I go down. 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. Now, this man was a champion. Now, as far as the eyes can see, you can testify he was a champion. Why? There was a record. He was not just a champion for the sake of, he had a record behind him. So, Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and span. Now, they are describing his height because of the great victories this man had attained. He was not just a simple man. He was not just somebody you could just dream of going to war with. All right? And now, well, they keep on describing him. So we go down. Now, verse 9. If he be able, now, verse 8. And he stood and cried unto armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul to Saul? Choose you a man for servants. Choose you a man, sorry, for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then he will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, when they heard, now, believers, this is where the battle is. Whatever state you are in right now, it's because of what you've heard. Whatever you're going through, whatever, it's what you've heard and what you have believed, and the devil has taken advantage of that. But now, they were hearing the Philistines, and he was putting in negative faith in them. He was putting in faith in him. They believed him. They believed, looking at the record, looking at the word. Faith comes by hearing. And now, the faith that was coming was hearing the word. And this was the word of the devil. And they believed him. Because they believed in Goliath, they believed him, they couldn't fight him. Because they were convinced that they would not win. And it's true. If they went ahead, they would have lost the battle. Because they had believed. Now, this is one thing I love about the Lord. When everything seems impossible, when things seems like they can't work for you, the Lord comes to your rescue. The Lord always has his man. So we thank the Lord that in his age, in every age, no matter how dark it is, the Lord has his man. And here we are. Now, and David was the youngest, that's 14, and three elders, and three elders followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. No, I just want to go where David started talking. Okay. Now, this is when David has arrived at the camp to bring the food and provisions for his brother, 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion. Now, Goliath came at the wrong time because he was going to meet his match. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled. Now, this time, have you seen? You see that faith grows, huh? At first, they were terrified, but now, this time, they were running away. Those words, they believed them so much that they just had to take off. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make. So now, and David spoke, 26, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living? Now, when the Lord... The beauty I love about this word we have, when the Lord has put something in your heart, brothers and sisters, when he has put a life and a testimony, no one is going to take it away. And this time, David was not even worried about how to fight him. He was not concerned about how many battles has he won, or what's the best approach to fight him. David was not worried of that because he was not seeing him. David was not seeing what others were seeing. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence. He already had the evidence with him. Because he had an experience with the Lord. He had a wilderness experience with the Lord. So, David did not waste time to say, how am I going to fight him? Where do I start from? No. David was trying to say, what's the reward? He was concerned about the reward. He was concerned about the payment. He was concerned about what he'll be given. for that, because that was not a job. You know, it's like a job you're very good at. Somebody's failing to do something, and then they ask you to do it. You're not even worried about the job. You're concerned about the payment. You already make a budget. You know, when you know how to do a certain job and they've given it to you, and it's the thing you love doing and you're good at, you won't worry about the job. You're worried. You're just concerned about the budget. If you were broke, you didn't have things, you say, okay, I'll buy this and this. As if the job is already done when you haven't done it yet. Why? Because it's as good as not there. So David, the job for against that Philistine, he was as good as was not there. Now look, even the fighting tools, can you imagine? He was not even concerned about having a spear. To David, whatever it was, whether it was using vapor, he was not worried about that. But he knew that it was as good as not there. So this world, brothers and sisters, it's as good as not there. It doesn't matter your plans, doesn't matter whatever you can see, your neighbors, the people around, the situation, the glamour, the whatever you can see around you, it is as good as not there. That is why David said, let not my eyes behold vanity. Now, when he looked at Goliath, he was not seeing him. He looked again, he was not seeing anything. He knew that this is vanity. This is not real. This looks like a champion. This looks like the actual thing. This looks like the real obstacle, the real terror to us. But when he looked closely, he was not seeing it. He was seeing vapor. He was not seeing that thing. He was not seeing him. Everybody else was seeing him. He was not seeing that. And that is why, brothers and sisters, John chapter 20, verse 24, what does it say? Look at this. When Jesus was risen, Thomas, look at Thomas. And verse 24, John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas wanted to see the physical body of Jesus. But the Lord Jesus told him, you are looking at the wrong thing. You are trying to see a wrong thing. You are supposed to see the real thing in the spirit. So, brothers and sisters, whatever you are going through, whatever situation or circumstance, it's not there. That's why the Bible says there's nothing that shall pass away from the word of God. Not even a dot or a tittle shall pass away. Everything else, heaven and earth, will pass away, but nothing written in scripture. That is the assurance we have, brothers and sisters. So I pray that the Lord richly bless you and have a blessed week. Shalom.